Okay, everybody, we're going to get going. Can I have the roll call, please?
Present.
Kapler?
Here.
Ormsby? Peters?
Here.
Rafferty? Stoltenberg? Wendland?
Here. Okay, thank you. We had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of the minutes of the September 19th meeting as submitted.
Okay. Need a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of September 19th, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Minutes of September 19th are approved. Okay, and again, welcome everyone. This is the Plan and Zone Commission for October 17th, 2018. We are a recommending body approved or appointed by the City Council and the mayor to look at site plans, zoning requests, and such. I see there are a number of folks in the audience tonight. So if you have input on a case, which we would welcome at the appropriate time, I will ask you to step back to the podium to my right and to your left and state your name and interest in the case. And we would love to hear from you. So with that, Greg, we will begin. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, our first case tonight involves the northern portion of this parcel. We're looking at four townhouse units being placed on this northern lot within this outlined area right here. It's a reduction from what we had seen prior, where we had, I believe, 21 units. These are four larger townhouse units, parking to be in the interior as well as out here. So there's a substantial reduction in the area that's involved with build out on this project. You've Palmer Hills Court with the means of access coming in, right out off of Middle Road, and then going through this current area here. As you see, it's being constructed in this locale, happens to be a Starbucks. And this is the way that these units are going to be divided out, so that you have this being the front area right here. To the rear, the garages, two, I believe, for each of these units, and then the side views there. The area here, all of the tree counts met our ordinance requirements for this particular project. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval of the site plan. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Again, from staff, any updates since the publishing of the
I did speak to the developer regarding your question if there was a overflow parking needed. He actually smiled at me and says there's going to be plenty of parking if there's any overflow needed. So
newsflash to everyone here, parking is my hot button tonight. I've been around town and we've got too many places where parking is not working. So I'm on a parking mission.
Covered, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm on a parking mission tonight. So
is it the parking commission? Is that what you said?
It might be the parking commission. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks for follow up on that. All right. Any one on the commission with regard to this case have comments or questions?
I would just make a comment that I think this is a huge improvement over what we saw initially.
Big time.
As far as the density and the look of the building, it's a very attractive building, and I think it's a great property to put in that location.
I would agree with you completely. Interesting looking building, nice infill, fits nicely in there. Great redo on the concept, well worth the
He really stepped up and responded to your your request.
Looks like it'll work for everybody, and yeah, nice job. So anyone else in the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? No? We'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve case number 18-044, site development plan.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-044, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18-044 is approved. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, our next case is the Lot 2 of the Springs at Bettendorf. Devil's Glen Road is right here. And this is the site that we're looking at. We have a Schaefer Farms addition over in this area. Springs over here, which is the gated community for rental, and then the, of course, this power station here, and then the park right here, Crow Creek Park. This is the lot of record that we're looking at right here, essentially lot two. This is a revised site plan where parking was put in here as well as here. Parking goes over the requirement by 5 spaces, 64 were required, 69 are featured. We have parking here, here, and then up in this area. And that parking, remember, this building here does not have internal parking. There are 2 spaces in each of these buildings here, so there are 12 spaces internally in both structures, as there are 6 units in these townhouses, which this is the proposition we're discussing tonight, is essentially these 2 buildings right here. I'll put on the overhead showing you, these are the proposed structures, the way they would look. The 6 units being placed in a townhouse arrangement, and then the back ends here being the garage areas. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, after we have gone through some iterations with the developer, we would recommend approval with the conditions in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Any updates since the publishing from staff?
Yes, sir. The packet that went out to you, there are some changes on what's being displayed before you here this evening. Again, we had a discussion with the developer. We were concerned that there wasn't really any guest parking that was within a close proximity of the southern building on what you have in your packet. He did respond to that. There's parking just at the main entrance, just to the north of that main entrance, that can be used by either of the townhouse structures for guests. And then for the southernmost townhouse, he is also providing some guest parking over there, and that's where the additional parking came into the parking counts from what you had. So he did respond to those issues. The chief has reviewed this, and he is all right with the guest parking at the entrance there because of the redesign for him, and it gives him the turn that he needs. The reason I required them to include the apartment complex was because that had already gone all the way through council, and they approved an apartment building for 24 units. So they already had approval for 24. And if I just came to you this evening and you gave the approval for the 2 additional townhouse units, that would have brought the number up above what the conditional zoning restricted. So we included having that brought in here, and it ties it all together, cleans it up, and it keeps it under or within the count that the council has approved on the conditional rezoning. And okay, I'll be glad to answer questions about any of those issues if you have them.
Thanks, John. There may be some more as we go along as I digest what you said and look at the new print. So, okay. Questions or comments from the commission? Okay, I'll go.
Thank you.
Yeah, a couple things. So I'm looking, and it's fine print, so it's a little hard to see, but I look
very
at that 1 radius coming in from Devil's Glen, and if you were to come in and head south, it looks like that radius almost clips the building. Are we literally having a curb right to the edge of the building? Yeah, right there, there's a point where I see the building edge, what appears to be the building edge, touching the curb. There's like zero, I know it's a private drive, but that just looks like a crunch point waiting to happen. And I'm glad to see more parking, but I personally would never want to see parking perpendicular to your entrance drive. That becomes very problematic to back in and out when everybody servicing your facility, which we've got 24 times 2, let's say 50 people potentially or more coming and going from this location, and you've got parking places backing out into your entrance and stacking area for queuing out into Devil's Glen, which I think is problematic as well. And I'm still a little challenged by the lack of parking, and maybe I'll ask it in the form of a question. Is there any distance between the garage door and the driveway? Or is the garage doors that are there basically flush with a street or drive?
There is room between them.
So
it's,
right,
you can't enough see
to park
the,
not enough to park a car though.
No, that is correct. There is on the print, not the one that Greg's showing, a different plan from their sheet. There's 6.5 feet is what we're seeing on the.
It's on there.
Mm-hmm. You may not be able to see on that plan. Yeah, 6.5 to 8 feet, depending on which side.
Okay, and then, so Brent, when you come up to that, right where Greg's got the line, you come up to that north edge of the first building, and right there, does that literally, right there, does that literally touch the driveway?
It's very close. And that's something I think we can iron out in site plan. It looks like you've got 2 or 3 feet to be able to shift that building further south to get to the building setback.
I'm just thinking snow plows, nope. You know, all the stuff in the real world we deal with, and I'm trying to envision that this can be as functional a site as possible, as challenging as this site, as we know with the third visit here, is to develop.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would ask, along that same line, in that same building, the southernmost unit, is there enough room there to back out of the garage and manipulate your car to get in and out of there?
Oh, good
because
point.
That doesn't flow through to the south. You have to come out of the garage and head north to get to the exit. I know my backing.
So they better not have a Suburban.
Right. And have me behind the wheel.
Maybe a little audio or something.
I'd have to be at the north end.
Others on the commission. Let me finish one more then, I guess. Is there a way to designate the spaces that are required for the apartment, the larger apartment, so that we won't have tenants and or guests from the two buildings utilizing their friends the parking that's required for the apartment to the north? In other words, if there's, would you say, 5 heavy on the total count, John?
Yes, sir.
So what's required for the apartment itself, whatever that number is, designate those spaces as this building only, so it forces the rest of the people that are going to, because I'm envisioning it just a challenge. People have company, there's nowhere to park, they're going to go up and park in what should be the required parking for the apartment to the north, and then the people to the north won't have anywhere to park when they get home.
You can condition that. I don't know why it couldn't be conditioned.
What we've shown here is in excess of that.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
Dave Kempin. I'm a partner with Dick Ryan and Dave Ryan.
Okay, thanks. So as a practical matter, I guess just some feedback on some of the concerns that have been expressed so far.
As far as the 30.5 feet, I think that, you know, we're talking to our engineers, 30 feet is what's recommended, so we felt comfortable with that at the bottom. The parking in the bottom, you know, we've got adequate spaces on top compared to what the ordinance is, so we kind of rely on the ordinance of telling us what is minimally expected. If it's more than, you know, we're welcome to add more parking spots there, and that's something we can do, but we rely on the ordinances to tell us the minimums, and then we add it extra to make sure that, hey, we've got adequate parking, that we won't have those issues. Now, as far as preventing people from parking different spots when you manage apartments, yeah, we can do that. That's just management issues that you have to deal with. you know, if someone consistently takes up excess spots, then you can deal with that through lease renewals or violations.
And that makes sense. I mean, ultimately, it's your building to manage and market in the marketplace and have it functional and desirable for people to live. And I'm just looking at it saying, as a practical matter, I sure wouldn't want to come home and then find everybody in the South has a party going on and I got nowhere to park because nobody protected my parking. You know, eventually, if that's a chronic issue, the market will solve that issue, or you'll do it locally, I assume.
And like other apartment complexes, if you have an issue with parking, then we've got space along that row where you look at, can you add a couple of spots there? Or is it something that you manage that, hey, you're only allowed to have parking passes and one car each or two car, whatever the max for that unit is, to limit the parking so no one takes advantage of that and over parks or has excess parking there? Or visitors, excess visitors that are always there that take up the parking spots?
So would it be I know it all costs money and it's not an open checkbook, but why are they not showing more spaces down along the south edge where there appears to be a lot of room, you know, farther south, yeah, Greg, as well, both those spots? Just you've met the code and you feel like you're okay meeting the code with
That's initial thought.
And a demand.
Something, there is space, we can add parking if needed.
Okay.
Would it be more feasible to add the parking here? As this is open, green space, take this out of here so that it doesn't cause this conflict?
Right at the end.
Move it up here. There's a drop off here.
There's a lot of drop offs on that site.
Right where it sits, where the entrance is, that's kind of, you've got access with a sidewalk. You know, people can, flow would be better to all the townhouses versus up there, then you've got a longer distance to go to the south building.
Okay. So it's more centrally located where you have it now? Is that
your
reasoning? Between the two buildings?
Mm-hmm. I would definitely echo your concern, Roy, with the parking right there by the entrance. I think that is just asking for accidents to have people parked right there and then trying to back out while people are trying to come in. I don't know what the line of sight is down the road, what the topography is going to be like in front of at the back of that building, but I can see that's a big.
I think we got some data on what we thought the total traffic flow was, but I mean, it's quite a bit less than, let's say, a grocery store parking lot. So
I guess I was talking more about how well would you be able to see to back out, to see people coming in and out that entrance area.
And that can be moved to the back too, but we just thought that was more of a convenient spot to park.
I think it's more of a dangerous spot.
From my old retail development days, you never wanted to put a space backing out into a thoroughfare, which that is. And I can just see 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning when you got a lot of people coming out and somebody's going to try and be turning left to go south on Devil's Glen, and the people are sitting there stacked up, and then the people that are parked in there can't get out because the cars are stacked up. It looks like a pinch point that's waiting to happen. But again, it's something you guys got to work on with the development. My experience would tell me that's going to be a kind of dysfunctional corner right there. But
we got to remember, it is only 34 units, so the overall volume of traffic isn't that significant versus the retail establishment.
Yep. Market will bear. Questions? Any other comments from the commission at this point?
Isn't the apartment building all funnel out that same entrance as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then how many units are in the apartment?
22 at the back. We shrunk that down to from 24 to 22, and then there's 12 townhouses total, okay. 34 total units.
Yeah, because some of the original data had more counts, almost twice that, right? At one point, you were almost twice that units.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
We got our ordinance approved to limit
right.
to 34.
Yep. Anyone else? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Yes, sir. Yep, please.
I'm Kevin Gunderson. I live on Brittany Court. And I used to work for a utility, and I know main power transformers, like they have in the substations, can catch on fire and blow up. So I did a little research, and I found out that this has happened next to apartment buildings, and they used to require a certificate of clearance by the utility. Since Mid-America isn't here, I wonder if that concern was ever addressed.
And, I'm not sure, but we're going to ask our engineering staff about that. And I actually looked at it, and I noted that they had a masonry wall across the east side of that and for some sections of it, and then there's a chain link fence for some of it, and I wondered if that had to do with blowout or blast protection or anything. I didn't know.
This building would obviously be higher than that wall.
It's a short wall.
Right, that would fall under building code, so we'd have to check with Jeremy.
But that would be addressed at the time of actual building
construction plans.
Sure. Sign off. Good question.
Yeah, because there are events online where a transformer blew up, apartment building caught on fire, and then the city council blamed the builder, and the builder blamed the city council for not addressing the clearance. And for liability, I thought this, especially for insuring the building, we think that should be addressed.
And looking at that, I went out today, in fact, I got pictures on my phone looking, and just to refresh myself on this one, and it does appear that there's adequate distances. I don't know how far a blow of a transformer actually goes.
Well, I worked at Quasi's nuclear power plant. We had a transformer blow, and pieces of metal flew off at the size of cars, and it would go right through that apartment building. So it can happen, and they do happen because those are oil transformers, so they overpressurize.
Yeah.
So especially on the north building, because there's a transformer on the north side of the substation that's real close to that north building. That's all I have.
Yep, good point. Appreciate it. Thanks. Something that will be addressed in the building code stage of the process.
Now, the bike path is going right by the south side, but there will never be an entrance on the south side, right?
I don't believe so. I think there's actually the drive for the utility substation, and then the bike path comes
right out.
Oh,
that's the drive for the utility.
Yep. Yep. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case?
Mr. Chairman, I do have one more question for Dave. I'm just curious. Typically, we don't see site work before a site plan is approved, but I have seen site work up in that location. Can you clarify for us?
Yeah.
For me? And then it stopped.
It has not been site work. It was just clearing the trees. So when we contracted to just get the trees cleared, and then we got a stop work order. Then we got the proper permits in place, and now it's just a matter of the contractor's schedule. So he has not completed it. So he's waiting on just timeline of finishing up the clearance of the trees, but we have gotten the proper approvals to clear trees. But no, we're not starting grading or any actual site work.
So the work began without the permits or the proper approval.
That is correct. Yes, the COSESCO permit, our site erosion control permit, was not in place the first day, which is when Rob DePover, our erosion and sediment control technician, issued a stop work order.
Okay. All right.
Now, the clearing is allowed, just similar to subdivisions. Prior to approval of construction plans, they are allowed to start grading. Beyond that, they would not be able to work. So clearing would fall under the grading that is allowed per our city code.
Okay.
Assuming the permits are in place.
We're all lined up now.
Yes.
Great.
All right. Thank you.
I have a good question. I wondered about that, too. Okay. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Janine Gunderson, and I'm Kevin's wife, and we live right on the other side, right across the street of Devil's Glen Road in Brittany Court. So our fence backs up along Devil's Glen. We've lived there for 4 years, and I walk across the street and around that area almost every day. Before you approve this, I really wish you would just go look at it personally. Why they're putting an apartment complex there, I just do not understand it. I don't understand why anybody would want to live there, and in their backyard, they're looking at a Mid-American substation. I was really shocked when I saw the bulldozer there. We were never notified that this was going there. I thought the park owned it. I thought it was the park all the way down to 53rd on that corner there. When we first found out about it, we were told it was just the apartment complex. Now we're finding out it's townhomes. You've got walkers, joggers, kids going on bicycles on that corner there. That's a bike path crossing Devil's Glen, and it just does not seem like a good area for townhomes and apartment complex, but just thought you might.
Thanks, Jean. I actually use the bike path and go through there a lot, and I went there today to personally refresh my memory. It is a challenging site. We've all, I'll collectively say that for the commission here, have struggled with this one substantially because of the 10 pounds in the 5-pound bag. The good news is it's a lot less than it was. I still think there's some potential challenges. The challenge from our perspective is it meets code requirements at this point as far as parking requirements and things like that. It's a private road, things that we have no ability to modify at this point because it complies with the code. I think the market will determine whether it's acceptable or not in the tenant base, but we don't have the power to regulate that. It is a challenge. I believe this was a remnant from the original Springs property that was held. But it is a legitimate lot and able to be developed as long as it meets the code requirements, which in this case it is meeting the code requirements.
Mr. Chairman, if I might add one thing, something we haven't said here. Greg's done a very good job working with the developer. Normally, we have them meet our landscaping requirements. We have told them that we want the landscaping emphasized towards Devil's Glen side of this development. Very much in response to the adjacent neighborhoods. So normally that landscaping would be evenly scattered throughout the site, but we are asking them, and they have responded, to concentrate the landscaping towards Devil's Glen Road.
And we also requested with the developer, and he, I believe, acquiesced to evergreens being planted as the means of vegetation.
And it is a difficult site.
Yeah, and I mean, it's America, and people are entitled to develop a piece of property. That's the great thing about the country, and it's the challenging thing about what we have to do here. So we're trying to reach what's the best compromise that meets the requirements of the city as well as enables the developer to do what they're entitled to do with property under the law. So it's a fine line sometimes.
I just have questions. Because it doesn't show the dimensions up and down. Are they going to grade down the part where the townhouses are going in? The ground is really high up, so you add another two stories up to it. Obviously, us that live in that street are going to be looking right through the windows if they do that, through our windows. Are they grading that down or lowering the level down so it's more flush with the road, or are they going to keep it up high? Because it's going to be a real tall building with the amount of land that's already there.
I don't have a topo. Maybe Brent or Brian can advise
I don't have a copy developer of the grading plan, unfortunately, with us.
Nope, we got the engineer.
Because for the people that live on that street, if it's built two stories up from the ground level, we're going to be looking right through the windows of those townhouses.
Yep, appreciate that. We got the engineer behind you. He can probably fill us in.
If they grade it down more towards the road, that won't be quite an issue.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Chris Townsend with Townsend Engineering. Yeah, we were actually, the grading wise, we would have loved to have gone lower with the whole site actually, but we're really restricted by the existing bike path, so we have to leave that where it is. And so we've got to go up a little bit from there, just so that it isn't draining into these units is our problem. So that's where we're at. So, and you can see those buildings are stepping down as they go to the north, just so that we can keep it lower. So I think you'll be happy with it.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the main floor of the units will be level basically with the bike path, if that helps you kind of get a feel for it.
Yeah, that sounds correct. Right way to do it. Yeah. Okay. Anyone on this side? Anyone on that side? Okay, we'll come back to the commission for some direction.
I'd like to make a comment.
Okay.
Typically, we sit here and listen to the audience make comments to us, but I guess I want to take my turn tonight. We created a comp plan and new zoning ordinances that everybody was really excited about, but we're beginning to see the ripple effect of some of this multifamily. And this is, I think, a good example of that. Roy, you commented that it's totally compliant with all of our code and our ordinances. There's not a reason to say you can't do that. We've got another project on the agenda tonight that is very similar to this when it was created and continues to appear to me to have some challenges in trying to make it work. We've also looked at a project tonight that I think is a good example of how we want townhouses to fit into the community. So while I think we're in a struggling point right now, and I don't have a reason to vote against the project. I just want to comment that I feel very frustrated that there's adequate parking, but I just see lots of challenges. And that site is challenging. The proximity to the road and the substation is challenging. The drop off on the back is challenging. It's a 20-pound bag load in a 5-pound bag, and I wish there was a way to improve it. And I, you know, it's not our job to come up with those improvements. Our job is to review the code and the ordinance and say yes or no. But I think we've kind of inadvertently created a situation with the new zoning and ordinance code that we're seeing this works, and that's why we have a moratorium right now, I think, until we figure out how to make it work better.
And I will be expanding on all of those things during the update to the commission, and it's very timely that you're bringing it up tonight.
Well, as I said, I apologize to the audience. Let me say my piece. Usually we're the listeners, not the talkers, but I wanted to be the talker tonight.
Thank you for your input.
I also think that, I mean, we've looked at this site a lot, many months, and I think initially it came in that there was going to be a commercial. They were going to try and do a commercial retail building at that entrance. So, I mean, in our eyes, we have worked hard on this, and I think this is better for your neighborhood that you're in than what was initially proposed. So,
and the developer has continued to work with staff to try to come up with a better plan, and we appreciate that too.
Okay, are we ready for a motion?
Can't vote if we don't have a motion, I guess.
I am officially calling for a motion on case 18-080.
I think you can. Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve case number 18-080, subject to staff recommendations and also to look at the Mid-American transformer to meet building code.
Okay.
Did you want to include in the motion about designating a parking area that is separate exclusively for the apartment building?
I guess I have a legal question on that, because I heard the developer kind of come back and say they'd like to manage that internally. Is that something we have the latitude to request relative to the parking requirement for that one building?
We can request it. I mean, I think they do meet code. They would have to agree to that. They seem to I think, as you said, indicate that they would manage it in their complex. And I guess, ultimately, I don't think we can require them to do that. So I don't know that we want to get into negotiating here on the floor.
Agreed.
So my recommendation is that they meet city code.
And can we, how about if we, this sounds like semantics in this world of semantics these days, but how about if we recommend that they designate the parking and then it's up for discussion and we're not requiring it, but we're recommending it?
So it's a recommending body, so I think that, you know, ultimately we'll go to the city council, and so I think that's a fair point.
So would you like to amend your...
I'd like to amend that.
I got another one.
Oh, no.
We're going to recommend things. I'd like to recommend those parking in the entrance to be moved, because I just really feel like that's a huge safety issue.
I would agree.
The right at the entrance or the one...
The one's perpendicular to the entrance.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So, Greg,
got it?
Yeah, and then we'll look at the building separation issue and see if that needs to be considered, remember the design, because there is in the code a standard for that that has to be at least 5 feet.
From the drive?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. The turning radius that you talked about.
Yeah.
So the motion is also recommending that parking spaces be moved along with parking spaces be assigned to each building.
I would clarify that to the extent required by the code. So the designated, I don't want to over-designate, but if for example, 20 parking spaces are required for the apartment, my recommendation is 20 be designated for the apartment. Mm-hmm.
And that's my motion on my recommendation.
And I'll try and restate that when we get to a second, if we get to a second here.
I'll second that for you.
All right, great. We're working. That's good. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-080, subject to staff recommendations, with the further recommendation by the commission that the developer and staff look at the possibility of relocating the perpendicular parking at the drive, as well as designate the appropriate number of spaces as required by the apartment to the north of the development. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. 18-08, subject to those staff recommendations and additional commission recommendations, is approved.
I'm going to move over to my regular side pretty soon.
You think it's going to get easier over there? Go for it. Okay. All right, Greg, next one.
Mr. Chairman, this case right here before us is Sutton Place and 18th Street. This parcel here, which held at one time, I believe, a financial institution with the drive-through. You can see the aerial where it's situated. You've mainly R5 zoning and up in this area here. And then it's C1 straddling 18th Street. This is a compilation of different lots in two different subdivisions. This area right here is Fair Meadows 11th edition. The remaining area is Fair Meadows 8th edition. And what we've instructed the developer to do is, prior to a certificate of occupancy, that this entire parcel area be replatted so as to clean up this, what amounts to is, I guess, remnants in some cases, because it may have to involve this area as well, because it's actually containing part of this lot here, and this lot here, and I believe lot 3 as well. Another thing we want done is making sure that prior to maybe potentially to city council, that we address what's in this easement, because there's an easement that's been placed in here We don't know what's in there yet. Again, it's the plat was done in both of them about 1964, so things were conducted in that day and then subsequent, not with the rigor that we see today. So that's why you have this one parcel that contains these different areas and different easements running through. We go to the demo diagram, we can see that that easement runs right through this current building, and then this is the other easement. We don't want to have anything in here, and then of course the utility would have to come through, electrical or gas or water or whatever, cable maybe, and then have to do work in here because the building will be approximately in this area.
What's the nature of that easement, Craig? Is it an access easement or utility?
No, it's a utility easement. It's a general utility easement. It doesn't per se call out. In some cases, if when you do see an easement like that, it will say in the notes what could go into that easement.
Yep.
We do not know what, if there's anything in there now. But again, that's something that through the platting process, vacating those easements, you want to make sure that that's all cleaned up. Or else there won't be any certificate of occupancy issued. But we want to make sure, though, at least before it would go to council, that there wouldn't be any in there to make sure that, of course, the petitioner is not building on top of something that really is to their own detriment, because if the utility company were to go in, have to do something, they would tear that building up, and then the burden for repairs would come down to the property owner or the developer, I guess, yeah, the property owner. What we got for the proposed structure, you have a Domino's Pizza locale that would go on this portion of the building. That's 2,400 square feet, so is this portion. To create the stacking that we wanted to see, the drive-up window will be right here. Now, some of these folks will call in their orders, or they will actually, you know, text them in or whatever, and then come here and pay to pick the pizza up. There will be a staging area for people who want to come by and wait for their pizza, and there will be a small area for people who want to eat in here, but mainly this is a drive-up type facility. And that's what you're seeing, more and more drive-up type fast food. You're not seeing the people wanting to eat at one locale. They want to buy the product, take it home. The other area up here might be destined for another type restaurant area, but this could be used potentially as a restaurant that would be an off-time restaurant. In other words, a breakfast, lunch type setting, and then the pizza area as a different setting in the evening. The parking met our requirements for both these structures, if they're running at the same time. The petitioner will be asking and requesting for parking in the setback area over here, a variance, and that will be going to the Board of Adjustment next month, and that's another reason why this will be held up before it goes to City Council, before that has to be approved, or else the one of the aspects of this project is then impeded. So what we're looking at is a structure that will have this type view from the south side. This is where your drive-up window is, and then you have this facing out, I believe, to the east, and then I believe there's your west view, and that's your north view.
Greg, just a quick question. Maybe. Is the drive-up window, is that a Board of Adjustment matter?
Not any longer. I believe in our new code we've removed that, and what we do is look at, and you guys also look at those issues regarding stacking and the internal issues. We wanted to sort of take that out of there because it had been put in under maybe other considerations than just looking at something. It was considered by someone else to be needed, and then we looked at it when we did the rewrites and didn't think that it would be more of a design function for this body to consider, as opposed to something more of a use function that the board would consider. So in evaluating this project, staff and looking at the proposal, we would recommend approval with the conditions that we listed in the report and what I explained, I guess, as well.
Thanks, Greg. Any subsequent updates from staff, John?
Just some clarifications. The building that's there now has existed for decades. on top of these easements.
It's looking pretty tired. I went by there today. Yeah, it's got things growing out of the roof, so.
We believe they are empty. We are asking that they get us an affidavit showing that these easements are empty before we proceed on to City Council. And the reason for that is time is of the essence. They're being dislocated from their current location with the redevelopment of the lodge site. And when that is confirmed, we can move forward, and we'll hold this up until they get the variances for the parking. It's not going to be an issue. Some of that parking has been in the front setback for decades as well. It existed prior to this request. And while this proceeds through, we're going to require them to replat, remove the easements, and it'll all be cleaned up, and it'll be much cleaner than it is today. I hope that clarifies it.
Yep, thanks.
Mr. Chairman, I must abstain from this case.
Okay, we have one abstention. Thank you.
Stacking is sufficient for 10 vehicles at that drive-up window.
Okay. Questions from the commission or comments?
A nice improvement to the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's kind of an eyesore over there. The thing's current structure is pretty well run down and looking tired. So, Greg, you were giving us a good explanation on the drive-through for the Domino's side, and we have a potential use for a counter hours of operation use on the right side. What if that building wanted, or that part of the building wanted, to have a drive-through as well?
Is that a material change, and we would evaluate it, and I think we told the developer, the builder here, that we would not permit another drive-through because it simply, you lose the stacking.
Agreed.
And it would be counter to trying to have a circulation that would bring the traffic to this point.
The first submittal had two drive-up windows. We told them we would not support it, and it was taken away.
Yeah, unless you have a separate way to queue for each of them, I agree.
Not getting a second yeah. drive-up. Oh,
there's no yeah. stacking on
no,
that
no.
north side.
Okay, good answer. If that remained a single, my concern was, I view it the same way you do, Greg, that in America today, everybody wants to go through the drive-through and take it home or eat it somewhere else. And if another restaurant user is going to come in there, they're going to want to drive through as well, and that would be a disaster over there. So good answer.
And just another clarification on the sharing of the building. Nothing is confirmed. Okay, so we have made the evaluation that both sides will be at their highest use at the same time. So
great. That's the best way to look at it.
Yes, sir.
Yep, great. Anyone else with the commission, since I've been hogging the mic tonight? Okay. The audience. Yes, sir. You're already there.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. I own the Domino's Pizza here in town.
Okay.
And we do have a pickup window in our Clinton location. So just want to let you know that it's kind of different than what a traditional drive-through would be, because I would say 98% of the people call ahead. So it's a matter of us walking over, grabbing the item, transactions about a minute. So
they don't order the pizza at the squawk box and then wait for it for 10 minutes or
well,
15.
Well, we have had people do that, but then we ask them to please, you know, pull over to a parking spot and we're not out to you.
Yeah.
So as far as like stacking issues, I mean, even in Clinton when we had our grand opening blast, we only had maximum 5 cars. A lot of people wanted to come in and see the new location, and ever since then, we probably have 20 cars a day go through the park pickup window. Like I said, the transaction, you know, 1 to 2 minutes.
Great.
So definitely, I don't know if that would affect having a second one that actually is maybe a drive-through or not, but our pickup window is a very brief transaction.
So while I've got you there, then tell me about your lunch hour. Is a lunch hour big for you guys or
no.
becoming bigger? No, it's just mostly evening?
After work or... Or evening.
I could give you exact breakdown, but I would say our lunch business is not quite as busy as our late night business from 9 to close in Bettendorf. So lunch is about 15% of our business.
Okay. So that to the concept we're looking at here, and counter hour operations would fit very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. How about driver count? How many drivers do you have coming and going? Since Domino's delivers.
Domino's is getting very busy, so we're increasing our delivery drivers. Right now, we're up to about 10 on a Friday night. I would say at any given time, you probably have like two or three in the lot. Most of them are out delivering.
Motion. Okay. Great. Appreciate that. Any other questions for him while we got him up?
We do have a pretty high carryout percentage, too. A lot of people like to come pick up their food, so.
Okay.
So, following that comment, if I'm coming to pick up my pizza, I want to walk in and get it, or I want to walk in and order it and wait and then pick it up, where am I going to park? Am I going to park out front? There, thank you, Gray.
No.
I'm
not unless you're handicapped.
Parking here.
In the back.
Here.
Okay.
Here. And here.
So there are a couple places out front. Mm-hmm. And is there a rear entrance to the restaurant on the west side?
No.
So you kind of have to navigate the drive-through.
It's a very new concept for Domino's, to be honest. I mean, I think there's probably like 100 pickup windows in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that virtually all stores that are being built right now,
I'm
half
sure
are going with the pickup window.
I think, a great move. I'm sure it'll pay off for you. I'm just thinking about the people who aren't picking up.
Did you say there's going to be a dining area in there?
Yes.
And the people that are coming in to dine, they park where?
I mean, they can choose wherever they want,
I guess. Just, I thought it made sense, her question of, you know, is maybe having an entrance mm-hmm. for customers from the rear, so the people who are coming to sit and eat aren't walking through the drive-through traffic.
Still walking through the drive-thru traffic.
Yeah.
Might be walking through the ovens in the back of the pizza place. Something else to navigate.
That's true.
Well, it's set up very similar to the Clinton location. We, knock on wood, we've been there for a year, and I've not had one person say, gosh, you know, it's crazy walking through this parking lot. Like I said, the pickup is a very new concept. It is getting, you know, like I said, 20 vehicles a day. So you're looking at, we're open 14 hours a day. So you're talking one and a half vehicles an hour, roughly. Now that's obviously going to be a little bit more at night for dinner. But they come throughout the day. So
if they get hit, it's a guarantee. Haven't you seen the commercials?
Right? A lot of times when people order, they order ahead of time. So their transaction even coming into the location is very quick. Not everybody does, but there's high percentage of people that order, get an alert that their food's ready, and then come pick it up.
World's getting high tech.
Everything is.
Man. Okay, good. Anyone else in the audience? Thank you for that extra input. Appreciate it. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope. Anyone back in the commission? I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of case 18-081, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-081, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Good. 18-081 is approved. And, yeah, nice job, developer and city, and working and taking out an older, tired building and making something that works for everybody. So appreciate that. Okay, Greg.
Next case, Mr. Chairman. Access can be gained by coming down 35th Street. You've got Elm right here, and this is the area here, which we've already seen in the past for contractor condos. What we're looking at are storage units approximately up in this portion of Sevier Steel First Edition. It's a rather small addition of units. This is the existing site plan that you had previously approved showing the contractor condos. in these areas here, or storage units throughout over here. This area in brown shows where the newer locale will be for these storage units right here. And there's a close-up showing the actual outline, 25 by 120 for those units. Staff looked at this, and in reviewing this, we found this to be pretty well clean. And with the comments that are listed in there as conditions in the report, I would recommend approval.
Thanks, Greg. Any subsequent updates, John? Nope. Okay.
Nothing for me.
Questions from the commission? I had just one, Greg. You just said on the last sheet you had, it had noted asphalt millings. Is that going to be a paved? It says approximately 2,900 square feet of recycled asphalt millings. Is that like a hot mix that'll be?
I refer that to the engineer who's speaking on behalf of that.
Chris is back.
Is that normal pavement?
Yeah, hey, Chris Townsend, Engineer. Yeah. Yeah, it's just the recycled asphalt millings, literally, that they lay down. And basically, after a while, it ends up being hard surface.
You know, so it, heat. Sun, solar heat, and yep, compaction. Exactly. And okay, right. So it's kind of like gravel that hardens.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually the same material we're going to be building a parking lot at Crow Creek Park out of.
Hmm. A little semi-porous, so it lets some water through.
Soccer fields?
Yeah, south of the soccer fields, we're going to be where all that parking is currently on the grass and the little rock. That'll be done yet this year still.
Cool. All right. Anyone else in the commission? Anyone else in the audience? Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I would move for approval of case 18-082, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, thanks. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-082. Subject to staff recommendations, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18-082 is approved. Greg?
We'll be forwarding this onto another meeting, this rezoning for the school proposed site. That will be coming up next month, so that'll be forwarded on, and we're moving on now to Terrell's second edition, the preliminary and final plats. This is the area essentially outlined here in yellow. Access coming down, I believe, 244th, and there will be a means of access to connect into this area. Well, really not from that locale, but from this avenue right here, these lots will be accessed. This is adjacent to the first addition, which is coming in this way for access. This is Terrell's first. The development that we'll be looking at will be in this locale here and then further south. You've already approved this, and then there's some easements in here that help with maybe some cross connectivity in the future. Since there's one owner now, we want to make sure that we clean some of these things up and get them addressed at the present. And this is the already platted area here. What you see here are three lots, one, two, and three. This area might be deeded at some point to an adjacent property owner to be kept maybe free and clear in its natural state. But these two here, these two lots are anticipated for potential build out as contractor condo areas. The means of access coming down here down this county road. There will be an access point here just in case these get subdivided at some point into more lots. We wanted to make sure that we had enough width here to potentially put in a road street because under our requirements for subdivision ordinance, whenever we have more than three lots, we're required to see a street being placed in. Whenever there are three, it is a private drive. And this is the preliminary plat you're looking at right now. And this is East Harbor Drive here with residential A2 in this area. This spot up here is all I-1, which is a limited industrial. This down here is all A-1, which is ag, a reserve district. The final plat, again, shows that access easement bisecting the two lots intended for the contractor condos. this area again, lot three being kept in the wild. There was later on a condition placed, because there is a monitoring well here, that this entire lot has basically been designated as a means of access to get to the monitoring well. Also, potentially, there could be other areas here, because there's one well, there might be more wells in the future, we're not certain. But in order to keep that free and clear and open to access this lot here, we'll have the access necessary from here. And since the entire lot is somewhat of an access, I believe, also from this locale over here on 244th Avenue. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. John, subsequent updates?
From a development standpoint, I don't think you're going to see much development down here. Most of this is in the flood zone.
I noticed it was a waterfowl habitat for a large portion of it right now with the water elevation. So
just keep that in mind.
Yep.
If you go down there, most of this is...
That's the practical...
That's the reality.
Yep. Okay.
I have one question. And this is just clarification for me. So the road to access lot one and two is on the east side.
Yes.
And there's going to be an easement for a drive between those two lots. Will that connect all the way through to the west? Or?
Yes, right here.
The intent is to give access to lot number one.
Okay.
If they can accomplish it without...
Not to the drive.
Not to the tree-lined drive.
The intent is for access to lot one.
That's right here.
Yep.
Yeah. It's going to... Okay. I just want to be sure. One and two will have access, but there will not be any thoroughfare to go through to the drive.
No.
Okay.
Correct.
Are lots one and two not in the flood zone then, John?
I would say the south.
That's where the flood
east
zone is.
Two-thirds of lot number two is in the flood zone. So we're not going to see a lot of development down here.
Yeah. You know, are there specific building restrictions then for?
They could stick a contractor building in the back end of there. Sure. And you can have a drive through a flood zone. There's no restrictions for that. We have that all over the area.
Right.
As a matter of fact, that's why a lot of our parks are where they are, and we put drives there, and yes, that's perfectly acceptable.
Other questions from the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Yes, ma'am. Come on. Save the best for last.
My name's Holly Secker-Brosman, and I'm the president of Pleasant Harbor Homeowners Association, so I know all about the floodplain, and
sure
thank
do.
You for your help when we need sandbags. That happens every once in a while. I'm here because I know Mr. Carroll is subdividing, and he owns that property, and we don't have any say, but we do have that tree line lane that we have a perpetual easement. I'm happy to hear that he's going to backload from 245th or whatever that side street on the other side of Lunex is in order to protect our private drive that we pay for with our homeowners association funds, pretty much what our funds pay for every year from our, I don't know, 38 or 40 lots are maintaining our roads, which we do a pretty good job of, and dredging the mouth of the harbor. That's pretty much what our money goes for, and maintaining as far as mowing and snowplow, because it is a private drive. So I probably don't need to say it too much now, because I can see where the contractor buildings, although we aren't happy that we're going to get anything down there, because it always was A1, and before Mr. Terrell owned it, cornfield and soybean fields, and that tree line lane to get down to our residences, but so we can't do anything about progress. But we do have a concern about our road, our private road. We maintain the road, but the land is Mr. Terrell's. And It's a private drive. The bus that drops off the children that live in our neighborhood drops them off at that railroad track at the way at the front by Asino, and so they have to walk that road. So we're concerned about the safety of them. We're also concerned about during floods that we have a place that residents can park their cars, because that's just enough above that floodplain for the most part that they can park and get out after we paddle or canoe from our homes to the main road. So those are a couple of our concerns, and our maintenance. And the 245th, I am not quite sure if that was originally platted as our access road, and I'm not sure who I would ask. At one point on the furthest east side was the original road that was platted for that subdivision, and then it was moved, I think, in 1975 to that tree line lane that you see now. But I'm not quite sure, but I think 245th, or that other side of Lunix that came down. In between Lunix and the shed coming down there. So that's not 245th?
No.
So is that the county road next over? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid that. And you know what? I have to tell you that Mr. Terrell, as you know, he has the shed and whatever he's been doing to clean up Lunix, which is, it's beautiful compared to what it was, has sideloaded, you know, traffic. And I think that is our main concern, is we do not, the road that we maintain is never meant for commercial traffic. And I know that this is going to move on to the other side of the road, because he also wants to replat the west side of the road. And so we have these very, very same concerns about our children walking down, and you know, maybe it's a side load thing from the very top to go down on the side on the other side too. But so I'm just here to state the concerns. I'm here representing probably about 15 other homeowners, even though I'm the only one tonight that came. And I did want to mention that I did see in your meeting notes for June 20th for the staff report that when it talked about designating, and although this says the first edition, so I don't know which one that was, but it was the staff report from June 20th, that it did say number three, an agreement between the developer and the residents of Pleasant Harbor must be detailed in the platting documentation regarding care and maintenance of the access easement area and the seal-coated driveway. So I think that means our road. And so I haven't had, you know, as far as president of the homeowners association or the board, we haven't, you know, had that discussion with Mr. Terrell yet, but I did note that you,
we made that recommendation. That was a county subdivision, so I don't know what the county has done on that regard.
Oh.
But that is not under their purview.
So this isn't under
tonight's. Is that one we were just had an extraterritorial review on, and we made our comments
on the one for
the previous one,
the one in June.
Yes.
All right. And
that's so a county.
That was your comments on the county.
Correct.
Okay. So what we need to be in agreement with Mr. Terrell on something.
Yeah, you should check with Scott County.
All right, and that doesn't.
I don't know what they did after it left us. I don't know what the final resolution was.
So our comments aren't binding when it comes to a county plat. It's essentially a courtesy review.
It's a courtesy they offer us.
So we made the recommendations to them, but they may not have included those in their approval of that plat.
I see.
They kind of look at us like neighbors in this scenario. So they come to us, sure, and say, hey, would you like to give us some feedback on, mm-hmm, on the development, which we usually do. And in this case, we made reference to the easement and the maintenance of the agreement between the parties, but that goes back as a suggestion slash recommendation to the county, and the county ultimately controls it. So we provide input, but they're the governors of it. They are the ones that are responsible for whatever's relating to you two out there, because it is not city jurisdiction. Does that make sense?
Sort of. Yes, enough.
Since it was adjacent to city of Bettendorf property, there's a certain reach. What's that distance that we have? Kind of a look over the fence.
2 miles.
2 miles. So if something within 2 miles of the city of Bettendorf gets developed, even if it's not in the city limits, they typically will ask us for our comments, our being the city of Bettendorf's comments, relative to a development, which they then can take as a, or must take as a recommendation, and whatever they do with it is up to them then, which is the case from the June activity you're referencing.
Exactly right.
Okay. All
right. So to John's point, if you wanted to follow up on the status of that, it would be with Scott County folks. Do you know where they go in that, John?
Just Mr. Tim Huey's office.
Huey?
Yes.
Okay.
All
right, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate your input, Holly. Thanks. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope. Back to the commission. Janessa?
Mr. Chell, would you maybe want to speak to her on what type of business and things are going to be stored in that area that you're building the contractor condos? What kind of things will be going in there that might ease, I think, some of her concerns?
I'm Sean Terrell, the owner of the development. So you're just basically looking for a little bit of input as far as what our future plans are?
Right, just in the contractor condos, that means like you'll be housing equipment there, or
At this point in time, lot number 3, I've got a purchase agreement with one of the property owners of Pleasant Harbor. It's one of, actually, Holly's neighbor. He's in the process, once this is taken care of purchasing that so that it can be pretty much set aside. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is be good neighbors. Rather than try and do any development below lot 2, we wanted to come up with a good solution. Thank goodness one of the neighbors came up with the money to pretty much take care of that entire lot for the entire association. So I don't have any idea what his plans are. I believe it's set aside. Lot number 2, potentially basically a machine shed, which would be a storage shed, a garage to store farm equipment. Lot number 1, we have no intentions of putting anything up. It's just basically a storage yard, which it always has been. So at this point in time, we don't have any intentions of doing any major development. The possibility of maybe one pool-type building with a gravel floor, and that's simply to store tractors. That would be behind the tree line. It shouldn't affect anybody. We've gone to extensive lengths to make sure that we don't interrupt anything going on next door with the development. I want to be a good neighbor, and hopefully we put over $3 million into that property. Hopefully they've seen a little bit of improvement. So that's, at this point in time, that's what we're looking at doing.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Are there any ordinances as far as buildings that are put on a, is it just a matter of putting a pool building up and gravel?
I'll defer to Brent or Brian to give you some feedback on what's required there.
They would have to come through and
come right through here
and do a site plan submittal that this board would review. I think Sean was talking about gravel floor. We do require hard surface for any exterior, so any drives or parking lots would have to be at least a seal coat surface.
All that comes back here.
And that would subsequently go to city council.
With each project.
And I don't know if I can kind of put a real quick sentence in there, but we're not looking to put a commercial industrial type building up on lot 2, simply an ag building. Right now it's in ag set aside, So it's actually zoned ag right now. We're paying taxes on ag. At this point in time, we're literally talking about basically a garage-type structure, a pole building, which I believe is permitted per code.
We'll talk to you about it at that time. It all depends on what the issue is. If it's something that doesn't require site plan, we would still review it with the individual.
But that, is that the difference between ag and light industrial?
Yes.
So if it was
throughout the community, we have a lot of land that's we consider it set aside. They don't consider it set aside. They consider it farmland, and they've got a lot of things they can do on farmland that doesn't have to come through this body.
I'm just curious that if the pole building with the gravel floor gets placed in an area that's A1, mm-hmm. but if it's light industrial, then you have to do it a different way.
Absolutely.
And so those two lots that were pointed out are zoned for light industrial. So a pole building really couldn't go up.
That's I-1.
Yeah, up on top.
Only the third lot furthest one down is the A1.
So
the other one is not, those other two that are being split out are not A1.
This is the boundary for the I-1 right there.
The use that you're paying taxes on may not be the same as what the zoning designation is. Those are two different issues. So anything that's in an industrial zone will come through here for a site plan before any structure goes up. You're welcome.
Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 18-084, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-084, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18-084 is approved.
Okay, then Chairman, I'd also move that we approve case number 18-075, subject to staff recommendations, as I believe that's the final plat of the case we just discussed.
I'll second that as well.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-075, final plat, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-075 is approved. Thanks. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, our next group of projects are actually three replats, various parts of Ever Summit editions. And we have three different locales here at the 4th, the 5th, and 6th editions is what they're being proposed as. This is 53rd Avenue. You have Hopewell Creek that runs through here, and this is Crow Creek Park, and the springs right there. And then you have the Windmiller projects, the Woodlands going on for the Shops of the Woodlands, and this is the Woodlands right here to give you an idea of some of the surrounding things. This is Everett Summit 1st Edition. And this area roughly here is what's being replatted as the 4th edition. This area here is Everett Summit 2nd edition, and this is what will be replatted as the 6th edition. These lots here, 7 through 18, and then these lots here, which this is an outlot, and lots 37 through 42 constitute what's proposed as the 4th edition. The 5th edition is part of Everett Summit 3rd. And that's lots 7 and 8 that are being considered for replatting as the proposed 5th edition. You can see it borne out here better on this, indicating where all these are. 4th edition, this is the plat here for this area right here, and these others were diagrammed in by the engineer to show the overall area. What you're considering tonight is the 4th edition area here. This outlot is being removed and being placed in designation to be used for housing. Staff did not feel that it was necessary for snow storage, that an area up along Pandit Drive could constitute what was necessary for that snow storage.
Greg, if I could add to the snow storage, kind of two factors that we looked at, and we worked with Red quite a bit to dial this in. He's reducing his overall density in the subdivision by almost half. So the snow storage pad was not for city use. It was intended for his contractors to back drag all the driveways when this was a compilation of all the six plexes.
Yeah.
We have plenty of snow storage for our needs on the east side, as well as now on the individual lots, because they've gone to a single family as opposed to the multifamily. So we agreed with him his reduction in density, as well as the sufficient needs that he had already provided for us, is why we agreed to remove that snow storage pad.
Great, appreciate that.
This is the fifth edition, which you're taking, and I believe combining these two lots here into one, which would be lot one of Evers Summit Fifth. And then five lots out of those that were 7 through 8 to be combined into Everest Summit Sixth Edition. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, met with the developer, and we were able to come to many resolutions of potential issues in viewing this setup. And in reviewing things, we came to the conclusion to recommend approval for the three different subdivisions, which will have to be considered under each separate motion for each subdivision. And doing so, recommending approval, we do with the conditions in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
We had a little update from staff. Any further beyond what?
The only contact I believe any of us have received on this, Mr. Windmiller, you know, his development is adjacent to this, called, and I explained what was going on, and he was very pleased with the changes that are being made in the adjacent subdivision.
Okay. Good, thanks. Thanks, Greg. Questions from the comments from the commission? And bless you for figuring out to keep all the different additions straight. This is another one we've looked at a lot of different times, and fifth, sixth edition, yeah, so thank you for keeping that all straight, Greg. Commission.
So, unlike you, Roy, I did not have a drive around today.
I'll have to get together next time for
the
drive around.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea. Greg, can you enlighten me as to what's happening in between these replatted areas?
Those are, I believe this has already been built.
Correct.
So that's
right
the
here,
existing.
And town. Then these are already spoken for pretty much.
Okay.
Right there. And then this is, I believe, already. Well, if it has been, that basically is something that's intended,
so
I think,
so
for the townhouses.
Townhouses in the gap.
Yeah.
Are there townhouses in the gap between 6th and 5th, or just, I know there's townhouses at the north?
I think there
end.
Is. I mean, I think that's, yeah.
I believe between 4th and 5th, Red, you built a few single families back there, haven't you?
Yes,
yep.
Those
so
are singles.
On the cul-de-sac, those are already single family.
And that is the product.
Yeah.
Yeah, of all the rest of this.
And is there a duplex back there too, Red?
Yeah.
Between,
sorry, we'll put you
the fifth and sixth.
Let's just get you the mic. Yep.
Yeah, Rad Pandit, I'm the developer there. Yes, so you see right next to the 53rd, this is the first I built the sixplex over there, townhomes. And then on the right on the cul-de-sac, there are two single family homes already.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is one lot for single family home. And then between the sixth and fifth are two buildings of four unit duplexes. So four unit condos, basically, but two building, two separate building with the two duplex on each side.
Okay.
So a total of
four
units
total.
In that.
Okay.
Correct.
So initially, I proposed to have 44 unit townhomes, and then I was we were able to get 42 approved for. But now when everything is said and done, including those six townhomes, I'll have 20 units altogether.
Okay.
It's going to be a much better product when it's all said and done.
This is one where the density's going the right direction.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. As I remember, I'm glad, and thank you for addressing the snow issue as well, because we struggled with where was all the snow going and the driveway issue and nowhere to park because of the driveways, but they had some at least pad area in front of the garages in this case to do that. So Yeah, that helps a lot,
so
for sure.
So, Rad, the product that exists there right now, was that in the Parade of Homes?
Yes,
so it was. That's an example of what you'll be building.
No, actually, that's a duplex.
Duplex.
Yeah, so no. I'll be building all single-family homes.
Right, which is a good complement to what you have in there already.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely going in a good direction. Thank you.
Other questions or comments from commission? You're the only one out there, Rad. Anything else from your standpoint? Yeah. time to be quiet. Okay. All right, back to the commission.
All right, so we need three motions for three separate cases. I will move for approval of case 18-075, subject to staff recommendations.
085?
085?
085, thank you.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, 85.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay,
we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-085. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-085 is approved, which is the fourth edition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So then we'll take one for 18-086, fifth edition.
And I will move for approval of that case.
Second.
As submitted and recommended.
Okay. And do we get a second on that?
Yep, I'll second that.
Okay, we got it. We got competition going for the second here. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-086, fifth edition, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-086 is approved. Okay, 18-087, sixth edition.
Move for approval.
Second.
Okay, you're negotiating who's going to second down there?
Just prodding.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-087, sixth edition, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Good. 18-087 is approved. All right. Thanks, Rad. Nice job in revising that.
Thank you.
Yep. All right, I think that brings us to our commission update, John.
Let's start out a little different this evening. Next month, the planning and zoning meeting is the night before Thanksgiving. I would like to get a feeling of how many of you will show up for that meeting to know if we need to reschedule that. Roy, I believe you said you could make it. Paul has already told me that he will not be able to make it. Scott, I believe you said you're still okay with it.
Jeff.
Yeah. It's Scott's other brother.
Apparently, I shouldn't look at my list before I look at faces. Both Jeff and Scott have told me that they can.
I cannot.
You're a no.
All the women who have to cook are going to say no.
Okay.
And all
but
the
they're having
to
turkey
stand
here. You said you were
football.
Having turkey dinner here, so.
So if I'm tallying this right, we're not going to have a quorum.
I can be here. I said I wasn't sure, but I can be here.
Okay, so what's your preference? Go.
When would you reschedule it?
Yeah, when would you have?
Well, we checked a week later is open. That's the 28th. It would really put some stress on, yeah, we wouldn't be able to get it into council, so that would slow it down, and people like getting things done by the end of the year.
Well, I guess if we feel that we've got a quorum.
We'll have four.
Then we'll assume we have a quorum, and if we end up not having it, at least we tried.
Okay.
And then we fulfill the mission of trying to keep moving the ball forward when we can.
Very
so
good.
So I would be good
with
that. I didn't
want to put you in that position if you weren't.
No, but I thank you for asking, and I think if we've got four and something happens between now and then, it happens, but at least we're trying to keep everybody on track, and that ties with the council schedule, so
we'll
makes sense.
We'll keep things as scheduled.
Cool.
Let me expand now on the items that Ann brought up earlier. October 2nd, the council did in fact set a moratorium on multifamily residential development. I believe very strongly that they'd like to have a joint meeting with you regarding this issue, and if you want to bring up the parking that you've been having some struggles with as well, perhaps we could talk those things out all together in a work session. I'd like to bring a facilitator in to get it moving. I believe I can have someone from St. Ambrose that I have some experience with who would be very good for that purpose. I don't think we need another planner in the room. I think we need somebody to talk us through the issues and get us to a position we'll be comfortable in. So I'll probably be contacting you to see if we can get some time where we can all get together and talk out these issues. I can tell you with 100% certainty the council feels the same way about the density issues that you do, and they'd like to work it out with you.
And maybe, John, a suggestion along that line, maybe a little polling or interviewing of the parties that will attend to get some ideas on agenda items.
Please.
I mean, some are kind of obvious, but if we each get an input opportunity to say,
feel free,
hey,
to email all of us. We'll funnel it through Lisa, and that way we make sure we have it being tallied all in one spot. You're all on the same page, so we'll work through it and we'll get something done.
Well, I mean, a little facetious today when we came in, I'm in the parking lot Nazi today, but I mean, just from experience this week, and I shared it with you because we had a brief conversation the other day, and I said, sure. I went to the Parade of Homes, and I went to park, and this was at a multifamily location, which I won't identify, but it was at a multifamily location. And on the side of the street where the development was, there were no places to park because the driveways were all too close together. Mm-hmm. So by default, parking on the inside of that circle of streets, if you will, or U-shape. So then I asked the realtor when I got inside, I said, so, hey, I'm curious. And I happened to run into a former Plan and Zone Commission member who was standing behind me and didn't say anything until after I asked the question and then tapped me on the shoulder and said, great question. I had the same one. I said, where do the people park when they have company? It's Super Bowl day, and where do they park? And the answer was, well, down there by the pond around the corner where there won't be any units, or up north about 400 or 500 feet where the commercial is. I thought, oh, well, I bet the commercial guys would love that. And it was just, it became patently obvious to me that there was a bad plan for parking, and when it's fully developed, there literally will be nowhere to park on the street over there.
Yes.
And that's that's bad.
And that went through here.
And it did. And it did. And it's not working.
It did not go through as a site plan.
We're done.
Well,
We're
on it.
I talked to the person. Yeah. I don't think we should make any more public here.
Right.
It's going to be addressed.
It's an opportunity. But all those kinds of things and the developments we've seen tonight where we're trying to squeeze, as I put 10 and Ann went to 20 pounds in the 5-pound bag, but it just becomes a challenge. And another sensitive spot, I think, is the aging population. I have an elderly mother, and I'm constantly taking her places, or my wife is, and there's never enough handicapped parking anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the nature of the age and the function. So I think we probably ought to look at that as well. So all reasons to open up several things and have some discussion and see if we might.
I think it'll be a very good work session.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I think it's time.
I appreciate the opportunity to be involved in it.
Yeah,
some comfortable shoes. I think we'll be here for a while.
Well, you might have to order a Domino's pizza or something. So yeah, or two.
Moving on. At the October 2nd council meeting, they approved the site plan at 1620 Lincoln Road. That's the Mark Twain School. October 16th, they approved the first reading of the rezoning of Lot 3 Utica Ridge Place. That's for the quick trip that will be going up at the lodge redevelopment. And you're seeing some of the ancillary issues that are arising from that here this evening. They also approved the site plan for 6910 Middle Road, again, a quick trip up at the TBK Bank Sports Center. They also, on a related thing, I just thought you'd like to be updated, they appointed Gwen Tombergs to the Board of Adjustment. Norm Volliger is finally going to hang it up. And
Norm is?
Yeah, I think the city had nothing but dirt roads when Norm started his service to this community, and he has indicated that he needs to move on. So
you saying he's old as dirt? Is
that no. No, I would never
okay.
say
just
that.
Okay, just for clarification for the record. So. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, good, good.
He's been a great public servant.
Very much so.
You've really, really enjoyed him. Mm-hmm. So I think you're up to date.
Appreciate that, John. And again, just for the record and our gratitude, you guys have been working really hard to keep the communication lines open. We've seen the benefits of it again and again. So please keep that up. I think everybody
I think
wins
we're in a
when we
spot.
Do that.
I really
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah. So with that, anyone else for the good of the order? We're adjourned.